Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue, along with Ray Graff. Good morning, Ray.
Hello.
Good morning, Alan Chartok. And good morning. Can we have a little more enthusiasm, please?
Hello.
Hey.
How are ya?
And the ever wonderful University at Albany journalism professional, professor and professional, and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo.
Hello,
good morning.
All.
How are you?
Good.
Well, we have a lot to talk about, a lot of interesting issues, a lot of important stuff. Let us begin with corruption in New York State. My goodness, what has happened?
Wow, nothing to talk about there, huh?
No.
Yes.
Okay, so we have a case where now, through an ongoing investigation, we have at least six, maybe seven names, right?
We do.
That have come forward. And what do we make of that?
We make it that greed rules eternal, that some people are stupid, and that you have to sort of project yourself into this situation and say, what causes this massive arrogance? In other words, it is arrogance to think you can get away with it. In fact, there's one accusation that somebody sold out for $1,000. Can you imagine to sell out for $1,000, potentially ruin your career forever? Forget about whether it's right or wrong. It's just incredibly stupid. And there you are, and you say to yourself, well, what is it that makes somebody so arrogant? Well, in the end, they think they can get away with it. And my question to all of you on the panel is,
yes, sir,
is if they think they can get away with it, what is that? Is it because they have been getting away with it? In other words, what we saw here was this former state senator who is getting sentenced today, recording her colleagues and saying, "I have reason to believe they're all crooks," or something like that, or that they're crooked, and so therefore I'm going to lead the FBI to them. So does that mean that they had been doing it for years?
So 74 years old, she has a broken ankle. She invites this group over to her house. She sits.
She allegedly makes.
Makes them lemonade and says, let's talk. And, you know, but this is to your point. It just seems like it's not even, like, it's not something that you even say in hushed tones. It just almost seems accepted under the information, through the information that we have currently.
Yes.
Jump in, Ray.
One thing I'm unclear about
you,
here.
Rosemary's mother loves Ray, so she's going to protect her.
One thing I'm unclear about here is that, yes, these people were named, but they may have said something like nice weather. I mean,
we don't know. Ray, you're right. We don't know why they were on the list. The stories are that she made up, our taping legislator made up this list with the help of the FBI, and it's unknown whether some of them are decoys, some of them are to loosen up the other ones. We don't exactly know.
Since that time, two names on the list were indicted.
Yes, that's true.
That's true.
So maybe those were the targets. We don't know that. And Alan, we need to be careful. We were talking earlier about the three men, the three brothers accused in those horrible kidnappings in Cleveland.
Right.
And in fact, only one now is actually charged. The arrests or names on a list do not equate with guilt.
Yeah, you know, I had a very unfortunate incident in my life. I worked for a congressman. Frank Thompson Jr., who I loved, and truly loved.
It'd be great if the story just ended there.
I had a very unfortunate
incident in my life.
Yeah.
I worked for Congress.
Yeah, no, and he's passed. He's passed years ago, and he was my favorite person that I've ever met in politics. And an Arab sheik called him into a motel room and offered him money. He denied it. And on the tapes, there is a denial, and he did not take the bag that they had offered him. But the guy who brought him into the room claimed that he had given him, shared the money years later, and he went to prison for a long time, for a while. There is always this question of entrapment, which is, if you bring somebody into a room, every human being, and say, I'll give you a lot of money, will they respond to it? The courts have not been favorable towards entrapment as a concept. And a lot of people went to jail in Abscam, and apparently it has never happened again that they have created a fictitious Arab sheik or anything like it and a two-way mirror in a motel room and said, okay, we'll do this. So that's another aspect of this that's fairly interesting.
There's something very distasteful about, you know, getting your secrets over lemonade, as you put it.
Right.
You know, that's as very distasteful as much as taking petty bribes.
Well, also, her motivation, in the sense of, am I charging in on a white horse? I want to clean up Albany.
No.
I know that these senators are crooked. Mm-hmm. I want to do something about it. So I'm going to get in a room. I'm going to work with this list. But instead,
she's
trying to cover herself.
She's trying to cut a deal. And today we'll find out whether she got away with it.
Right, because she was under investigation.
Now, the FBI says, for whatever it's worth, she lied to us during the course of the investigation, so therefore she doesn't get the same kind of deal she would get if she was in full compliance.
Wow.
As I read the story, anyway.
Yes. So
it is depressing, the actual number that we keep seeing. It isn't. If this were isolated, you could shake your head. But, man, this is getting to be really boring and horrible regular news.
Will there be anybody left in the Capitol?
Yeah.
Well, is it boring to you? I find it
distressing. I mean it in the sense of, oh, my God, not again.
Yeah.
Or, wow, what's going
on?
Yeah.
And doesn't that, because it taints the entire body, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, it does. And then there's the question about what we report and what we don't report about this. So,
what do you mean by that?
Well, for example, there are those who are saying, you know, these people are all minority people, and therefore, you know, this is a taint on minority status in the legislature. That's nonsense, of course, because white speakers in the Massachusetts legislature, governors in Connecticut, you know, other people all succumb.
Or upstate, downstate.
Yeah, right.
Democrat, Republican, all kinds of
That's
stuff.
That's right, Republican.
So are you suggesting that the media should have pointed out that all of those suspects and those actually charged and convicted have been black?
Absolutely not, because they haven't all been black. Some are Hispanic.
Yeah, black and
other
minority,
people are, yes.
Right.
So, no, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it is something that people either raise or don't raise, and then it becomes fodder for discussion.
What does it say that they were willing to broker to consider a deal? I mean, as you say, Alan, we don't know. We don't know what's going to end up. But the consideration of this is just the tip of the iceberg gives an indication that the feds, you know, have an idea that there's something is afoot.
Yeah, well.
Now, I'm sorry, Greg, go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If I'm on that list of nine and the feds know that I did nothing wrong, I'm going to get me an attorney. And there are going to be some major dollars paid to me because, you know, unless all those people that were announced and listed are in fact under investigation, then they have no business being tarred and tainted with the rest of them.
Well,
and that's ridiculous.
And indeed,
as you know,
they've been protesting
if they're guilty, I mean, then fine.
Well, as you know, I agree with you. But as you know, the feds did not want this list released.
Right.
They said, Judge Weinstein, we're not done with this yet. We don't want to do it. It will harm our case and it will do that. Apparently, now maybe I have this wrong, this list came from what her attorney, the senator's attorney, gave to the judge.
The list prepared by her lawyer as part of a request for leniency at setting in sentencing.
And the judge released it.
Well, the judge released it on the basis that the people who had been recorded in these two-way conversations knew full well that they had been recorded. Therefore, why was the list not being released?
Yeah.
And according to the document, we shouldn't make note, although I don't know why this would matter, but she not only recorded her guests, but photographed them as well.
I think the list should have been released. I think the judge did right. I'll always argue in favor of transparency. We need to look at how the FBI works. How were they targeted and put on the list? Were they suspects and on, or were they just decoys? And if it results in lawsuits, that's fine. Then that's a way to work out how we should be doing these investigations. I don't think it should be behind closed doors.
But what about the case of it casting a shroud of doubt over someone who is legitimately without guilt.
And you know, in England, Rosemary, you can speak to this better than I think they have many more protections than we have here in that exact case, Joe. So that in England, I think you're not allowed to discuss any of that stuff before the actual trial.
That's right. That's right. And all of the, what we're going to talk, I presume, about Jody Arias today. That was a media circus because we do allow coverage of events outside of and before trial.
In fact, I don't know what one of those despicable cable channels is going to do now that she's been convicted.
They'll find the next one.
They'll find something else.
That's right.
Yeah, Nancy Grace will always work.
But the alternative is to do it the way Canada and the Commonwealth countries like the UK do, and that is to wait until the officials do their thing, and then you report after the fact. And I just can't see that as a better system. You don't have the chance to watch how people are doing their jobs, how officials and court people are doing their jobs.
But on the other hand,
we do get these media circuses. Yeah.
And it's really not fair if you've been unjustly accused.
But years later, or months later, you're acquitted,
and now nobody remembers that.
Are you unjustly accused, or are you lumped in a group and people make assumptions?
Which you don't even have to be on the list now. You're a state senator. Oh, you must be crooked. That's the way it is now.
Right.
Just like journalists get tarred when we. Yes, after Jason Blair, we were all tarred as fabricators and exaggerators.
Not by everybody, Rosemary. I think that's a little rough.
Okay, well, do you think everybody thinks all state senators are corrupt?
Yeah, Alan does. Of course he does.
They're not. And we all know that they're not. But
well, it's like a Catholic priest.
Yeah, Catholic priests also get tarred and feathered by the actions of their comrades. Yeah. So where does that leave us?
No. This Jewish boy is not going to say one.
Hey, it's a good time for a break. Let us
take a break, and then we'll change the subject. I think that is a fine plan. We will be back. We welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You are listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Shedman, sheds, garages, gazebos, and outdoor furniture since 1988, located in New Lebanon and Brunswick, New York. Shedman.com. Different Drummers Kitchen Company in Albany, Lenox, and Northampton, offering demonstration and hands-on classes taught by regional chefs. DifferentDrummersKitchen.com for registration. And Northshire Bookstore, Manchester Center, Vermont, hosting Jim Sturba presenting Nature Wars, Saturday, May 11th, 7 p.m., Northshire.com.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Rosemary Romeo is with us, Ray Graff and Alan Shartok, and we welcome your input as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also comment on our webpage. You can go to our Facebook page. You can tweet us at WAMC Roundtable, at that little symbol, WAMC Roundtable, and we would love to hear from you this morning. Let us move on to another big story yesterday, that is the Jody Arias trial. After months and months of twists and turns in a dramatic trial rife with sex, lies, digital images, an Arizona jury found Jody Arias guilty of first-degree murder in the slaying of her ex-boyfriend, Travis Alexander. Jurors returned to court this morning for the aggravation phase of the trial, a step in the next key decision of determining whether she lives or dies. And she has already said in an interview right after the verdict that she would prefer a death sentence. So with that, we have talked about this case in the past on this panel, and it seems only fitting now that it has come to a conclusion that we wrap it up. And, what I found interesting, and I guess because of Casey Anthony and other trials, we sort of thought how it was going to go, but you don't know, do you?
The jury didn't seem to have much trouble.
After no.
A four-month trial, they needed 15 hours. My question is, why did the state of Arizona have to spend the money and time for a four-month trial?
What were the alternatives? You said, why did they have to spend it?
What was so complicated about this case that it took 4 months?
And is that I mean, is that a cameras in the courtroom thing? Is that it because it became a media circus? Is that because we saw these images? Is it because I heard several. I heard, to use Alan's terminology, several despicable cable news people.
Yeah, that's my terminology.
And not the one you're thinking of. I have a new one on my list, this Ashley Banfield. But,
God, yeah.
She's been around since 9/11.
Well, I know. But then
before then, she did.
But then they farmed her out, and she was like working in Phoenix, and that was fine. And now she's back in the network again.
Fantastic.
Anyway. Who is she?
I know that cameras in the courtroom are getting blamed for this, just as it was in the O.J. Simpson trial.
Well, what I was going to say is not so much even cameras in the courtroom, but cameras in the courtroom plus a pretty person.
Oh, yeah. That's what I think is the – and Casey Anthony and Jodi Arias are beautiful women, and they're kind of evil. They could easily be portrayed that way, and that's fascinating to Americans. That's what's made it. I tried not to get sucked into this. It's like, this is stupid. She's guilty, you know? And why am I wasting my time on it? But it's very hard not to. It was fascinating viewing.
Well, it's also the question of whether, you know, I mean, in everybody's mind, who deserved what? You know, Frankie and Johnny shot him three times right through the hardwood floor. You may remember that.
Sure.
And you know, they're then.
What
then,
are you saying?
Frankie and Johnny were lovers.
No.
They had a quarrel one day.
Right.
Frankie said to Johnny, or so whatever, that's right.
Right.
So ever since.
I like the Sammy Davis Jr. version of that best. As long as we're
we are on a tangent, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Back to
we are.
Trials and courtroom
Frankie
cameras.
And no, but the, were lovers.
But the tangent is that people get sucked into this and then get to talking about every woman who's ever been wronged, theoretically wronged, gets into this. And then people get sucked into it. I don't like the whole thing. I don't think they're. I really have to say, I've always been for cameras in the courtroom during the trial. You know, this is
well,
really.
Well, when else would you have the cameras in the courtroom?
Oh, when they're cleaning up, you know,
lunch break.
Janitors are there, and
all a good point.
Alan Dershowitz was talking about this on CNN last night. I found him interesting on it. He goes, "Yeah, cameras are getting blamed." He talked about the pretty women thing. If she didn't look like she does, would the cameras have been there and people so engrossed
maybe
in it? Maybe, we don't know. I can't think of any trials with ugly people in them. I really can, including on men. OJ was an athlete and a big star and good looking. Blah. And
I so am sure there have been ugly people on television.
Tell me who? Sam Shepard.
What
same
do you mean?
Thing.
I don't watch
Robert
that.
Robert Blake.
He was a TV star.
He was when he got. Well, by the time he hit that courtroom, he was. Come on.
What about the parrot?
Phil Spector.
Okay, Phil Spector. I knew you were going to bring that one up. You got me. You got me on that one.
What about the parrot?
Okay.
There's celebrity and beauty, and you're in trouble.
No, I understand the celebrity thing, but I'm talking about.
I want to make my one point, and
yes,
then I'll let you guys talk. My point is that you talk about you slam cameras in the courtroom because it creates media circuses. Yet we're trying to get cameras into the Supreme Court where there is no circus, where it's the highest
level of
deliberation. And I don't want those two things mixed.
I
cameras in the courtroom do not lead to media circuses.
No,
it's something else.
No, you're absolutely right. It is a disgrace that this political body, and it is a political body, they say it's claimant's judicial, it's a political body that doesn't get reported because they are the third house of Congress. There's no two ways about it. They make policy and they should be on TV. Right.
I want to continue this conversation about cameras in the court and also about this particular trial. We will continue our conversation. We're going to take a short break for an NPR News update. When we return, we will continue this conversation. We welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. All right, let's get back because Ray can't wait.
Well,
so excited.
I can't stand Jodi Arias. And I can't stand the case, and I don't. I think it's pathetic that human beings care about it, and it speaks to how low humanity has sunk that we even care about this animal.
Can I agree and then disagree? With
no, you?
You
may not. You may agree
can I
only.
Agree, disagree, and then agree.
Here's the thing. I think you are right that it is that my concern is that we as a culture and as a public will take a trial like this and use it as in some form of entertainment.
Now, that's agree. That's the agree part.
All right, I agree with
that. I assume we're all agreed on that?
Okay.
I don't know. Rosemary's a little.
Well, it's guilt. It's guilt that's making me hesitate because I agree with Ray, and yet I watched hours of this stuff.
Okay. And I agree with you, Joe, except that for one thing, I don't watch that garbage. I never have.
Well, I don't watch it
when
either.
You say Jodi Arias, I hardly know who she is.
Here she is.
Yeah, I know. I get it. And therefore, I'm better than you are.
Ah, aha!
But I agree with
you. Hang on. WAMC has learned. Shar talk better than all of us.
Wow, we're shocked into silence.
That was certainly shocking.
Breaking
we
news.
Never heard that.
I were a better person. I wish
it's
that
okay.
I wish you were too.
Up until now, it was just implied with Alan. Now it's stated.
It's out in the open.
So, I understand.
It is entertaining. It is. It's like, gladiators to the Romans. Maybe
true.
It's the end of civilization, but it is entertaining.
But a guy died. And a family is sitting in that courtroom, and they're waiting for that verdict, and cameras are on their faces.
It's not entertaining for them, but for us it is.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's that car wreck thing of watching it and just staring at it. I mean, I don't think that makes us feel good.
Here's what
I understand. Look, from a news perspective, I understand cameras in the courtroom. I understand wanting to have that. I understand having an openness in government. I understand having an openness in both in the Supreme Court and in our judicial system. I am completely on board with that. The fact is that when it becomes a program, Jodi Arias tonight at 8, and we tune in to watch this, that bothers me.
And on the contrary, I'm sorry, Ray.
No, feel free.
But on the contrary, when we have our public officials on trial, we're not going to be allowed to watch that, which would probably be the best antidote that I could name to people getting into this kind of trouble if, in fact, we were able to put the Malcolm Smiths and the John Sampsons and anybody else who committed a crime on before the people. That, in New York State, because of the wisdom of our legislature, in quotes, we won't be able to.
You know, I totally agree with Rosemary about cameras should be in the courtroom. This comes down to why we care. And basically, it should be available. If they want to make if there's a channel that wants to have Jodi Arias 24 hours a day, have at it. The fact that we care is what is concerning.
That's true. That's
that what concerns me most.
Issues.
But it is a sensationalism, and also the point should be made that there are many, many, many trials on many, many stations that are broadcast that certainly do not rise to the level of this trial. All of the major cable news networks went live yesterday afternoon at 4:30. The verdict was read shortly before 5, and it was closely watched and. I don't know. I mean, I think that because there is the sensationalism, and also, quite frankly, when you look at CNN, because they have invested so much time and money into the trial over the past 4 months, well, they're going to get as much out of it now as they possibly can.
When you say sensationalism, that implies that the media is hyping it up. There are some stories.
They're not?
Some are, but let me make my point that there are some stories that are inherently sensational. And I understood that with Casey Anthony. I understood it with O.J., with Peterson case. This one, I don't get.
Because she wasn't
famous. A young woman who kills, there's no celebrity, who kills a boyfriend alleging abuse, a crime of passion. We've heard it all before. There's nothing in this case inherently interesting.
Well, you said it before. She's pretty.
Yeah,
right?
She's pretty.
And there's, sort of... sexual angle in this thing, isn't there?
Yeah, killing him in the shower, the psycho angle.
So if Vivian Vance had killed, somebody, then it's not, if she's...
Not
Vivian
Frawley.
But what I'm just saying is if somebody frumpy kills someone, as they do all the time,
it's
not a big deal.
Then we don't get, and you show it in the same access with the cameras, but Jodi Arias gets watched, and the frumpy old housewife who fights back against her husband is not. Why is that? That's us. That's the viewers.
Yeah.
That's not the media.
It's our problem.
Oh, now see, I disagree.
Well, the producers, obviously.
Make your case.
Well, I mean, so why does they had, CNN had 7 journalists there. CNN had 7 people covering that trial. they had round-the-clock coverage. That's not sensationalism?
Except that there are other cases. There are other channels, we just talked about this, who show cases all day long, every day.
But they don't
cases.
Have that. They don't put that kind of time into it. They don't put that kind of effort into it.
Well, could I?
They're not talking about, you know, what she was wearing, what the, how she was looking, the mascara. They're not talking about, you know, that, oh, I think she may have had her nails done. These are all things that were talked about yesterday.
Okay, I have to concede. That's a good point.
Okay.
I give.
On social policy, very quickly, can I go back to that Supreme Court conversation
yes.
we were having? We know, I mean, there's proof positive that they should be on television giving this thing, because when they sound like jerks or they are jerks or whatever, we should know it. I'll give you a perfect example of this. They have basically conceded the point by, for the first time a couple of years ago, allowing their voices to be heard giving their decision.
Right.
That means they understand that the American people have a right to this information. And by the way, it makes a huge difference, because when you hear a John Roberts or you hear somebody else, you say, that's a human being up there. That's not an institution, a court, just giving that decision. So so if they've gone that far, then they ought to go all of the way, in my opinion. And it's much more important in terms of social, political policy than the kind of stuff we're talking about now.
And I would like to know if John Roberts got his hair done or his nails painted also.
Don't make me spit out my coffee. You,
yeah, that was a good spit take. That's a radio spit take.
And you have every right to know that.
Yes, Rosemary. I do.
Well, but I do think, you run that risk, of course, but let us not forget, these trials are, in most cases, especially the Supreme Court, they are open to the public. It's very difficult to get in, but you can get in. There is a list. And so if it is open to the public, why not
really
make it easier, open it to the public, and put those cameras in the courtroom?
Even our town meeting in Great Barrington, which is one of the funniest things, can be one of the funniest things, should be on television and is on television.
Mm-hmm. On cable access,
yeah, sure.
Right?
It's good stuff.
Well, no.
Can we, okay, if we change the subject?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. On to other things. A reminder, you can always get involved in the conversation by emailing us roundtable@wamc.org. Let us talk about moments ago, about 45 minutes ago, Ariel Castro was charged with the rape and kidnap in the Ohio case, from which Amanda Berry, 27 years old, Gina De Jesus, 23 years old, and Michelle Knight, 32 years old, were rescued on Monday. And his brothers, as Rosemary mentioned earlier, were arrested but have still not been charged. We are finding out more and more about this case. We're finding out more and more about what happened and what had been going on. I believe it was the news that said, you know, the house of hell what was going on in that house. And it's still quite extraordinary when we think of this
10 years.
Kidnap case. Yeah. 10 years. 10 years. And more and more details are coming out. There are some conflicting reports, but there are very disturbing reports about miscarriages and abortions.
What the police did or didn't do, right?
Right.
That's very
about
important.
Their responses. Yeah. Their responses to the House and so forth, and in the investigation. Obviously, this is one of those things that you have to let play out. There's a couple issues. First of all, what do you make of just the overall, what we're finding out now? And then I want to get into another issue.
Can I just go in a little bit of a different direction?
Sure.
I always love to think, to put myself in the place of Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, or the police chief in Cleveland, Ohio, when something like this comes down the line, and you know they're burning the midnight oil, and you know that they're trying to figure out how to play this, and you know, or Andrew Cuomo, and you know that they're trying to, or Eric Schneiderman, who for some reason gets into that list of people who the FBI, you know, had said were in, were right, talking to the state senator. To me, it's so fascinating to see what the decision is. Rosemary and I and Rex Smith talked on the Media Project this week about, you know, about Benghazi and what happened there. And clearly, they probably thought it went down the wrong road because, as we all know, it's always the cover-up that gets you. Instead of just saying, yeah, mistakes were made or whatever, we should have reduced these people and protected them and all the rest of them, they didn't. So I'm thinking now about the police chief in Cleveland, and he's sitting there, and he's and the deputy chief, and I wondered why the deputy chief came out and did all the talking and not the chief. What it is that they decide is the way to play this so that they minimize any damage that comes to them. Is that the police are definitely
a target in Cleveland.
Sure.
And again, there's, as you mentioned earlier, there are some things we're not reporting. And one of them is that these three girls all are from a poor, lower class neighborhood. They're all minority. I guess two of them are minorities. They go missing. The police did not take it seriously 10 years ago. One girl was not even listed as a kidnap. She was listed as a runaway. And they, the families were seen as rather extreme when they kept advocating for keep on looking, keep on looking. And this guy lived in the neighborhood. He's a single guy known to have dealings with children and to be secretive. You know, it does make you wonder if she had been a pretty white girl, a rich girl, Jodi Arias or Casey Anthony, would they have tried harder? Would they have canvassed the neighborhood? And I'm not saying let's do the Boston model, as it's been called, lock down the city and search house to house, but could more have been done 10 years ago? And that's what the police ought to be looking at. Mm.
And with that comes, and here again, I'm going to use the word sensationalize, but so feel free to jump all over me.
Another sensational story. I mean, it's hard to downplay this.
But the very, very important points that Alan just brought up about the police and the criminal justice system, and yet the story that gets the most play, the story that gets the most hits and people are reading about, is the psychic.
Oh, Sylvia Brown.
Sylvia Brown. Sylvia Brown says in 2004, telling Ms. Berry's mother on TV that her daughter was dead and that her last words had been, "Goodbye, Mom, I love you." She died, the mother died a year later of heart failure at 43 years old. Mm-hmm. So the, now, that seems to be trumping almost everything else as far as the very important questions as to this case, which of course is unfolding before us.
So what do you think that means, Joe?
Well, I'm concerned about I'm concerned more about what was done right and what is done wrong in the case of the actual trial instead of or in the actual case and investigation. I'm not as concerned about what a psychic said, although it is troubling.
Yet you did read the psychic story and provided one of the hits.
Well, actually, I read it. This is part of the BBC coverage. So, I read it as part of actually there also a decision that they made to include that in the story.
You know, it's fascinating. You know, I never heard of this. This is the first time I've heard about.
That's why we like to bring this stuff up.
The psychic. I got to bed at 7 o'clock at night. You know.
Yeah.
And I don't hear about this stuff. But I do know
we are better prepared, Alan, because we stay up later.
Yeah, I do know. That's true. I do know that I every year issue my predictions for what will happen
the
next year.
Yes.
And I take great credit when they come true. For example, every year I always say two Bronx assemblymen will be indicted. And without fail, it happens.
Yes.
Okay. And people call me and say, which ones? I say, I don't know which ones. I just know it's going to happen. But so here you get somebody being held responsible for doing some social damage, because it is damage.
If you're a grieving mother and you are going to a quote-unquote
going
to say licensed, but I don't even know what that is. I don't, you know, go to a psychic and say, you know, is my daughter alive?
Yeah.
And they tell you, no, she's not alive. And she said her last words before she died were, "I love you, Mom."
Yeah, and Jack McCoy, Jack McClane.
Law and Order.
Yeah. Would have definitely indicted the mystic on charges of murder.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, of course it's ridiculous, and they never are found guilty, but he always is trying to expand the
law. I think this conversation is ridiculous.
I agree.
The police told the mother that her kids were dead.
I could not agree more.
And the neighborhood, you know, gave up on them, too. Everyone thought they were dead. That's why she died of stress. She lost her daughter. It's, you know, and the whole psychic story, people are grappling for anything, any scrap of news. It was one little segment in a whole story. I think there are lots of hits on all of the stories related to the kidnapping, and I'm more disturbed that people, and I probably have to include myself, want to know what that guy did to the girls.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
And that is a sensational
absolutely.
Aspect.
And one other thing that's interesting, I just was looking up over Ray's shoulder. We have a television on, and they're just indicted for, the guy was indicted, and his bail was set at $5 million or $8 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, bail is supposed to guarantee that you
show up.
You can show
trial.
Up, and then you can get out and do the rest of this stuff. So $8 million, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't think the guy has it.
I don't think the whole neighborhood has it.
Well, you can't let the guy. I mean, socially, we can't let the guy
without
walk, question. Right?
With, why give him bail at all?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's
how about no bail?
Yeah.
Yeah. Being held without bail
because there's a constitutional process. That's why.
I want to just move on real quick because Alan mentioned, and it was a subject that came up in the Media Project, which will air over the weekend and on Monday, of course. But I do want to talk about Benghazi and the fact that Greg Hicks was testifying before a Congress yesterday. And I watched actually.
Remind us who he was.
Greg Hicks is the deputy chief of the diplomatic mission in Libya. He told Congress that he was on the phone with Christopher Stevens just before the ambassador was killed. He gave a moment-by-moment account of that. I have to say, about 20 minutes into the Jody Arias nonstop coverage, I went over to C-SPAN and I watched the testimony that Greg Hicks gave. He was I think very measured, very calm, and obviously very I don't want to say damaged, but I think scarred, you know, by this, and told about what it was like to say we're under attack, and then not hearing the voice come back and having the phone go dead. It was a minute-by-minute account, and really the first testimony from a government official who was in Libya during the assault that killed four Americans in September.
And equally important, Joe, one thing very quickly, and that is that he claims he was demoted because of it. Am I right about
yes,
that?
Yes, that is, and I was getting, yeah, that, exactly.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Cut to the chase. We only have 6 minutes. Go. So... What are your thoughts on that? I mean,
no.
Emotion. So you go to the hearing, and what do you make of that?
So then you begin to get all of the perspectives. We know, and on the Media Project, without forward advancing it too much, we discussed the fact that Fox, for once, had it right in terms of the Benghazi thing. We also know that a presidential candidate was the Secretary of State, and that, again, who was burning the midnight oil discussing on how to play this and whether they got it wrong in terms of the way they did it, instead of just taking their medicine, playing it straight, saying this is what happened. Yeah, woulda, shoulda, coulda, we should have had more people guarding the embassy and guarding our people, which they asked for, and then it would have been done. But the moment the cover-up begins, the moment the obfuscation begins, you get into trouble.
Well, I mean, it was during a presidential campaign.
Certainly.
I mean, obviously, if there was a concern in the White House that, hey, this could affect it, let's take our time.
Uh-huh,
don't
sure.
you think?
Yeah.
Isn't that expedience?
I've never understood why, because of those circumstances during a presidential election, it happened on 9/11.
Yeah.
Why there wasn't more protection given to the embassies and the missions in northern Africa. It's how good of an intelligence community do we need to say that these missions are in trouble at this particular time and on that date in particular?
You're right, and it's a good social policy issue.
I don't understand the motive of the White House in this, I just don't.
Because they screwed up. That's why.
Yeah, they made a big mistake. Yeah. The revelation in this hearing is that we now know from Hicks that Hillary talked to him that night, and he told her 2 a.m. and he told her there was no protest, this was an attack. So we then have Ambassador Rice, Susan Rice, several days later on television saying, yes, the State Department believes it was a protest gone awry. And then in the hearings later, Hillary is saying that was the best information at the time. Susan Rice was not deluding us. Maybe she wasn't. Maybe that's the best she knew, although I don't really believe that. And even when Hillary was called before Congress, and I'm a big fan of hers, she gave a very dramatic, oh, you know, how dare you ask this? And she got very haughty and got a lot of pluses for that, for standing up to Congress. But her answers were incredibly weak. Fox was asking the right stuff.
Well, and also—
Not for the right reason, maybe, Joe, but they were.
I thought in her answers, I mean, to your point, that haughty, certainly, but also kind of dismissive of, well, why would you ask? Like, it doesn't matter now.
Yeah. You just don't know how this job is done.
Right, and I thought that was an odd response. Yeah. Susan Rice did say on television on September 16th that the attack stemmed from a protest over an anti-Islamic video, and Hicks said that he was disgusted when he heard that because there was no protest. James Clapper, the director of National Intelligence, has said the notion of a protest came from intelligence reporting that proved to be
wrong. And you know, it actually is a brilliant lie if you look at it that way, because there had been a protest over that video in Cairo. So they say, well, it's a protest gone awry. Then later when they're proved wrong, they just say, well, intelligence had it confused. I mean, it's if you're going to be conspiratorial minded,
sure, I mean,
that's brilliant.
If there's some yellow cake involved in the story, then we're all set, you know? It didn't work for the last guy. The buck stops in the Oval Office.
I agree.
The guy in the Oval Office has got to take some blame for this.
Mm-hmm.
Alan, I'll give you the last word.
Yes.
All right. Excellent. I want to thank everybody. If you would like to still get in on the conversation, email us, roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage or our Facebook page or by tweeting us. It's @WAMC Roundtable, @WAMC Roundtable. And you can tweet us or, again, email us, roundtable@wamc.org. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Rosemary Armeo, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.